Halle, halleluja, 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 halle, halleluja.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from? He answered, An enemy has done this. The slaves said to him, Then do you want us to go and gather them? But he replied, No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, Collect the weeds first, bind them in bundles to be burned, to gather the wheat into my barn. Then Jesus left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples approached him, saying, Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. And he answered, The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. And the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
you, Lord Christ. I invite you to be seated. Another week, another parable. And more weeds. And yet one more explanation from Jesus. So, once again, a little bit of context orienting us to where we are. So this parable comes right after the explanation of the parable of the soils from last week. I misspoke when I said on Wednesday that this was nestled within the parable of the soils. And as a side note, if you ever want to kind of dig deeper into the gospel text or one of the texts from Sunday, come to our Wednesday service or watch it on our YouTube channel or on their Facebook page. So, while this parable is not within the parable of the soils, they're definitely meant to be read in relationship to each other. Now, you might ask the question, okay, how did the slaves and the owner not know that there were weeds in the field before everything ripened? The easy answer is to say it wasn't in the script. My wife knows this answer. And it's true. If that didn't happen, Jesus wouldn't have his example, right? So that's the easy answer. But part of the reality of the story is that the weeds that are mentioned are probably something called darnel. Now, darnel looks amazingly like wheat up until the moment that it begins to produce fruit, produce the grain. And even then, they're very similar. So it stands to reason that they would not have been caught early on, because it all looks the same. Jesus says this mixed field represents the world. A place where wheat and weed exist side by side, and you can't always tell them apart until you see what kind of fruit they bear. A place where both grow up next to each other in the same plot of soil. And this is a description of the world that we would recognize as Christians who happen to be Lutheran, right? Because we recognize this reality within ourselves. Martin Luther talked about the fact that we are simul justus et peccator. We are simultaneously saint and sinner. that we have been fully claimed and forgiven by God through the waters of baptism and the power of the Holy Spirit, and yet we still sin. We do, as Paul says, the things we don't want to do. And we also know this reality in our community of Ely. Our state, our nation, the world looks just like that, doesn't it? An interwoven mix of wheat and darnel, good fruit and weed that is hard, if not impossible, to tease apart. That exists at the same time in people, in governments, in agencies, in businesses. And so the central issue is, well, okay, what do you do about it? Right? You have these two things together. What do you do about it? Well, the slaves of the master think they know exactly what he wants them to do about it. He just wants a clean crop, right? So they're ready to go and do what to the darnel? What are they going to do? Tear it up. Get rid of it. Make the field pure. That's what the master wants. Right? But what does the Son of Man say to them? Whoa, 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 whoa. Slow your roll. Right? If you try and pull out the darnel now, now that it's matured and everything, you can tell what it is by the fruit. If you try and do that now, what are you going to do? You're going to tear out the wheat as well. And so, what does Jesus say to the slaves who think they know what he wants? Chill. Let them grow together. Because apparently, no harm can come to the wheat from this, at least not harm that is more dangerous than pulling everything out. The harvest will come later. And the ones who bring in the harvest, and you note it ain't the slaves who bring in the harvest. The ones who bring in the harvest will take care of it. So back to our central issue. Well, what do you do about the weeds among the wheat? And the answer, according to Jesus, is that wonderful song, let it be, right? Just let it be. I'll take care of it later, Jesus says. Now, if the central purpose of a parable is to give us the right question to ask or the right attitude to take as we follow Jesus along the way, then the attitude here seems to be hands off. And perhaps that's because Jesus knows several things that we can't seem to get into our own heads. First, we have this tendency to do more damage than good when we think we know what God wants, at least when it comes to purifying the world. We seem to do more damage than good when we think we know what God wants, at least when it comes to purifying the world. How much damage, destruction, death has come over the years when individuals or groups within the church have thought they knew what God wanted and they acted on it, especially when it comes to being pure. How many people who have watched that death and damage and destruction have said, well, if that's who God is, I don't want anything to do with that. Or who have had their faith destroyed by the actions of those who believe they are doing what God wants. Look at the declining number of youth and young adults under 35 in terms of those who are active in the church. Now, there is a lot more going on there than what I'm going to talk about. But one of the things they point to is the way in which the most visible expressions of the church in the United States treat those they consider to be weeds to be uprooted. Those whose sexuality is different from the normal binary of male and female. Those who are among the lesbian, gay, and bisexual community. Those from other countries. those who vote for a political party that they feel is not compatible with the true Christian faith, those who follow the Jewish understanding that life does not begin at conception. This visible and vocal uprooting, with the assurance that the master of the field is pleased with this, has destroyed or at least damaged their ability to hear the good news of the gospel. Now, I don't know about you, but in my 20-odd years of ministry, I have seen people's lives and I have seen communities of faith destroyed because someone or a group of people decided they knew what God wanted in that situation. Normally something about keeping things pure, getting rid of weeds. And the solution normally involves some kind of use of force, the effects of which rippled out into the whole community from the person or persons who were the focus of that force. If anything, this parable should give us pause. Because Jesus seems to be saying, if you're good soil and you're ready to produce good fruit, which remember from last week, it's going to be abundant, the presence of false wheat right next to you will not harm you. So leave it be. As one author put it, as the slaves, we cannot and should not seek to resolve the tension between the reality of this world, wheat and weeds together, and what is to come, wheat and weeds separated at the end time. Because that separation is the work of God and the heavenly beings and not us. We aren't the reapers. So in the meantime, expect that good and evil will be intertwined. It happens even within ourselves, doesn't it? Saint and sinner at the same time. But there's another side to this tension. Okay, so are we just to let sin and evil have free reign? By no means. Another author puts it this way. It's not that Jesus doesn't care about sin and evil. We know from his ministry that he cares very much, don't we? It's just that the point is not to destroy the sinner, but to stop them from sinning, to get them to repent, to be transformed. Jesus sometimes speaks in very clear and blunt language. He speaks the truth in love to people. Yes, he calls a thing what it is. Yes. But the whole intent is not to destroy, but to call into transformation, right? To change the nature of who they are. The point is not to uproot the weed, but change it into wheat. And how can that happen? Well, only God, the one who created it in the first place, can do that. But we know from last week that we have a role in making that happen. This is where our parables begin to mix, and so do our metaphors. So hang on. I think you'll get it. Remember, what are we called to do everywhere and always, regardless of whether we think a person is the path or rocky ground, regardless of whether we think they are weed or wheat? What is it we are called to do everywhere and always? Do you remember? Sow the word. Sow the word of God in our speech, in our action, everywhere and always, regardless of whether we think they're rocky ground and path, or whether we think they're weed or wheat. That is what we are called to do. And trust the Holy Spirit to do the rest, right? We are to love them with the same boundless love and forgiveness and compassion that God and Jesus has shown us. I think the biggest problem the slaves have is they have anointed themselves judge over others, deciding whether they live or die. That is weed. That is wheat. And that, by the way, is idolatry. To believe that we have the ability to do that. Who's got that responsibility in the end? God. Period. So does that mean we say nothing? No. Jesus spoke against sin everywhere and always. And in that way, we are our neighbor's keeper. Because we love them in the same way that God and Jesus has loved us. And so we tell them, stop doing that. You're hurting yourself and others. That's not judging them. That's being a loving follower of Jesus towards another who is created in the image of God and trying to keep them from harming themselves and others. That's compassion. I don't make a value judgment about them. That would be saying, you're evil. Rather, I call a thing what it is. That is an evil act that hurts others and you. How do I know it's evil? Because it sure don't match up with what Jesus has done. What the parables and the life of Jesus lays before us are boundaries, guiding principles of how we live, both as individuals but as the y'all, right? Our corporate selves. That regardless of what I assume by looking at someone, that they are path immune to God's word, or rocky ground, or weedy, or perfect soil, regardless of my assumption, I am to sow the word of God in all that I say and do. And that I should be like God in this parable and be patient. Allow the mix, the complexity, the ambiguity of wheat and weeds together, that I should not condemn others and trust God and God's wisdom in doing so. And that I am to love my neighbors enough to speak when I see them doing harm to themselves or others. But to be careful in my speech and actions, that I don't seek to uproot them from the field of this world, rather to make sure that I sow the word of the gospel in them in all that I speak and do. Interesting tensions there, right? Not always clear answers, right? Doggone it. But that's why we have community. That's why we go to folks who've walked long in this faith and say, I hit this. I tried doing this. Here's how I came out. What do you think? We can encourage one another. Yeah, it was tough, but yeah. We can seek to correct one another. Well, you know, it's good you're trying to do it this way, but maybe this way think about this. Maybe this time think about it that. Right? And the Word of God comes to us in the same way that we bring it to them. Not from being scared straight, right? But with love and grace and compassion. I don't know about you, but part of the reason I come every week is to be reminded of all of these things. To tap into the wisdom of this place. Isn't that why you're here? To be greeted with smiles and laughter with these fellow travelers with Jesus along the way, to hear their words of joy at our celebrations, to receive their concerns and prayers and touch at our trials, to hear them forgive you for the silly thing that you did that you are even now still beating yourself up over, to be welcomed in all your wheat and weediness intertwined, to be welcomed even though we are a mixed bag, and to join together in hearing how God in Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, has claimed and called each one of you, has made you good soil. To sing the praise of God for God's unbounded love. To hear together the truth of our lives and our world and our task. And to love that world as God has loved it. to be fed with Jesus' own body and blood, amending our soil with the stuff that is life, that brings life, so that we might go back into the world each week to spread the word of God's love with all that we say and do, everywhere and always, to everyone we meet, whether we think they are wheat and weed, good soil or path, to spread the love of God everywhere and trust that God will take care of the rest. Thanks be to God.